When most of us consider the existence of volcanic activity in the U.S., we naturally think about the Pacific Northwest and the eruption in 1980 of Mount St. Helens. But while the Southwest hasn't seen anything close to that kind of event in our lifetimes, Flagstaff and the Grand Canyon were areas that experienced eruptions many centuries ago. A new study published earlier this month in the journal Geosphere digs deeply into just how much volcanoes affected this region in the past and whether they could impact us again in the near future. One of the co-authors of the report is NAU Professor Emeritus of Geology Michael Ort. I spoke with Ort and asked him to describe just how much volcanic activity our state had seen in the past.
What we're finding is that if you took the Southwest, so basically everything south of the Oregon-Idaho border of Nevada and kind of went south and didn't count the Cascades, if you spread all those volcanoes out and all the eruptions, it's about as active as a Cascade volcano like, you know, Mount St. Helens or Mount Hood, something like that. So there's eruptions every sort of 1,000-ish years. And they're just, we don't know where they're going to be because it's spread out over a huge area instead of settled on one volcano like in the Cascades.
When we talk about over 1,000 years, that sounds like an incredibly long period of time. But when it comes to volcanic activity, is it that long a time, or does it just sound that way to those of us who are going year to year in certain ways?
Yeah, that's always a problem for geologists. 1,000 years is short. We still see evidence of heat underneath the youngest of these eruptions. There's still magma down there, and we can see it with seismic methods, for instance. These are active, and the magma separates from the magma source every 1,000-ish years, but the process is continuously going on underneath us.
When you're talking about that kind of activity that is still going on underneath us, what sort of work do you and your colleagues do in terms of how to measure just how low or maybe not so low the level of activity is after that much time?
We have a pretty good idea of what's underneath, down in the lower crust and into the mantle underneath the Southwest from a number of different seismic lines that have been done over the last, you know, few decades. But for what we can see at the surface, you know, the stuff that I might do, which would be looking at the volcano itself, I simply have to go on the past being the key to the future. I have to measure what I can see at the surface and how old these are and how frequent they occur, and then use that to predict for the future what's going to be happening. And so we can say, for example, that we've had 5 eruptions in the last 4,000 years. And, you know, you can do the math. That would be a recurrence interval of 800 years. And so we could project that forward. That's not quite fair because 5 is too few to really go off of. And so what we've been doing is trying to go farther back in time with this and come up with a much larger data set to predict, and then predict, use that to forecast going forward how often we're likely to see eruptions. With all that said, let me just take one step back and say what we do know for sure from looking at the past is that it's not an even every 1,000 years it kicks off another volcano. You can have 2 eruptions close in time and then have no eruption for a couple 1,000 years. And in fact, the 2 most recent eruptions, which would be Sunset Crater outside of Flagstaff and then Little Springs up in the Uinkaret Field on the north rim of the Grand Canyon. Those, as far as we could tell, they could even have been contemporaneous, but they were within probably 100 to 150 years of each other. So they can happen quite close in time, too.
How do you predict, and how do you feel confident in those predictions or anticipating what an activity may, in fact, result based on what you've seen and what you've studied in the past?
Yeah, we don't tend to use the word predict
okay.
Typically. And the reason is simply that. It's like, you know, you can't say unless you've got activity and you can start coming up with something where, you know, the ground is swelling or there are earthquakes happening or something like that. So what we try to do is come up with a probabilistic analysis where we're say the most probable locations for the next eruption would be these places. So these would be the places you might want to keep a closer eye on. The truth of it is, it's a huge area and we can't say with certainty exactly where it's going to erupt. So what we're hoping for is that there will be enough earthquakes in advance that some seismometer somewhere will pick that up. And then from that, we would have enough time to put in more seismometers and get an idea of what's happening. And then at that point, we could start forecasting, you know, what's happening, how magma might be rising, what might happen. But to, you know, to talk 10, 20 years out, we can't really do that very well because that magma may not have left the station yet.
When we hear eruption, we think of a certain thing, but are there degrees of eruption?
Yeah, I think you mean by like sizes and danger and
by
such.
Magnitude
and,
or whatnot, yeah.
Actually, we have a volcanic explosivity index and magnitude index. So we have those. To put that for the Southwest volcanism, most of our eruptions are in the lower tiers of what you might consider a magnitude scale. So they tend to be either lava fountaining or explosions that go out for a few kilometers, you know, say 3 or 4 miles from the vent. They put out lava flows that can go out for, well, in some cases they go out for tens of miles. But you can pretty much outwalk most lava flows, at least of the type we see here. So I guess what we're saying is these are not huge eruptions that are going to kill a huge number of people, for instance, or damage or hurt those people. What they would be more likely to do is affect infrastructure. You know, a lava flow going across a road pretty much stops anybody from driving on that road.
Indeed.
And, you know, things like taking out electric lines, affecting air travel, and so they have to go different ways. I just came back from a trip to Colombia, and we had to travel down there crossing at Panama because there was a volcano erupting, and you don't want to fly through its ash cloud. So really what we're talking about here is much more of infrastructure damage. And you know, we can't really predict where that's going to happen.
To what extent is the Southwest, our region, Northern Arizona, at risk of some sort of eruption that would cause infrastructure problems? I mean, is there a likelihood in the next century, or is it too hard to anticipate?
Well, our calculation for you know, on a century scale, we're talking somewhere in the 8 to 10% chance in the next century that we'd have an eruption. Some of those eruptions could happen far from infrastructure, and so they wouldn't damage anything. And other ones would. If you've ever driven along Route 40 around Grants, New Mexico, there's a lava flow right along the side of the road there. That's only about 3,000 years old. And, you know, if that happened today, I-40 is a pretty important road, and it would have crossed that road and taken it out. So it depends on where the eruption is. And some of these eruptions are going to be close to infrastructure, and some might be quite far.
Michael Oort is a professor emeritus of geology at NAU.